Technorama episode 660, to fill a space cruiser. Hello and welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at stuff. I was distracted by Amy Bowen's comment that came in right as we were saying that. You know, I should have this rattled off after 660 shows. We take a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. See, I don't need to read it. I just need to think it, and it'll happen. My name is Chuck Tomasi, or used to be. And
used to be.
Right over there is Craig Stepp. How you doing, Craig?
I'm doing great, trying to stay dry over here.
And we have in-studio guest, longtime friend of the show and longtime absent friend of the show,
yes,
Tim Adamek. How are you, Tim?
Hanging in. It's been an interesting couple of years. How about you?
And Tim, we were discussing before the show, this is like the fifth generation of this room.
I think so.
Tim is older than, like, he's seen this room, this one studio go through so many iterations, and this is just the latest of it. He comes in and goes, nice change. How long will that last?
You're right. 2 weeks.
Maybe a little longer.
Right.
You're never really done with a studio.
No.
You're never done with a studio.
No. Constant
Hang on.
Iteration.
Does it look good?
What's that?
Tim, does the room look good?
He's asking. You're asking him if it passes muster?
Oh, see,
yeah, because I've only heard you ramble on about it. I don't want to hear.
He's the one responsible for a lot of the design in this. Like, you know, we should get a rack mixer this time.
It doesn't matter how it looks from here. It matters how it looks from there.
Good answer. If it ain't on camera, it doesn't count.
Yep.
That's true. Yep. All right, fine, whatever.
And the pile of bodies in the back just doesn't say anything about that.
Hey.
Yeah.
They get to vote in the next election. That's my secret ticket.
That's why I got the mini split to kind of, you know, chill them so
Absolutely.
They don't decompose
keep
too much. Too fast. Yeah.
Gotta do something in Phoenix.
Wow. Yeah. We should probably move on in this show.
Yeah.
It's going in a very dark direction.
Yeah, we're recording the evidence as we speak.
We're gonna do the feedback first.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out.
Ding. Wrong show.
Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman. Mail today.
Well, we didn't get any email or voicemail from any of you. So if you're feeling guilty, good. We did get, however, we got some responses
What'd
to our
get?
Question of the week. Our question of the week was actually a couple of weeks ago. May have even been before we went on holiday break. I'm trying to remember. What was your highlight from 2021? And we did get quite a few responses from that on Facebook. Thank you very much.
Oh, I think I forgot to put in there a bonus. It's not pandemic related. So,
well, that was no. What are you looking forward to in 22? We did the week before.
Oh,
we did a forward look. Now we're doing a backward look. We should have done those the other way around based on timing here. But we'll get this eventually. 17 years and we're still working out the kinks. Well-oiled machine.
No, we're forging a path. That's what I prefer to look at it.
With a machete.
That's right.
Okay. Yes. Our question was, what was your highlight from 2021? John Miller Jr. said, his highlight is that he earned his Master of Information Systems and Cybersecurity certificate from the University of Phoenix.
Well, spoiler alert, that's what I actually put in the feedback.
Shout
out
to
actually give him a shout out because he did that. So
here,
congratulations, John. For spoiling it. Ugh.
Way to go.
Really,
that doesn't come with a pay raise, by the way.
No.
What else you got?
Well, let's take a look. Our buddy Steve London says, highlights of 2021, 2022, or 2020 ending. Working from home, 30-second commute to work, much less travels, more time with the family, and more hobby time. The twins graduating, one starting a university, the other landing a job, and starting to bring home the bacon.
Awesome.
I like bacon.
I'm kind of surprised. Steve is from Sweden.
No.
So to use the bring home the bacon thing is interesting to
isn't
me.
Isn't that an American colloquialism?
He picks him up quick, I guess.
Right on.
people liking, you know, pork products is pretty universal, I think.
Fair enough.
Bacon. Although in German, it's Speck. Just that, yeah. That's the only word you need to know. Speck.
Speck.
He said, it said his wife landing a new job as well. Being able to go back to the office, seeing other humans other than family. I guess that was a tipping point of 2021 is when he was like, I'm tired of my family. Anyway. Then 2021 was a pretty bull year, but I managed to finish up some epic hobby projects. I'm a model maker, and in my spare time, they spent way too much money on that this year. Well, a cheap hobby is not a real hobby.
No.
That's a t-shirt right there. A cheap hobby is not a real hobby.
Yeah. Look around the room that you're in, Chuck. Yeah, you have to agree with that.
This started as a hobby.
You know how to make a small fortune in a hobby, right?
Sell it.
Start with a large one.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess those were the comments.
You had a couple.
Well, I'm clicking it, but it's not showing me any comments.
All right.
Oh, view comments.
Gary Lindress said, singing karaoke with friends and accidentally attending the Star Trek convention in Vegas.
Accidentally attending the Star Trek convention.
How does that happen?
Him and his wife went to Vegas, if I remember this right, he's had it on Facebook, and it just happened to coincide with the Star Trek convention, and he said he was not aware of it, but it happened.
Well, there we go. Okay, I got mine. And Amy Bowen says, Dragon Con, what Gary said. Mm-hmm. Number two, being part of the first wave of mRNA vaccines, Team Pfizer. That sounds like it goes on the side of a racing car or something.
Team Pfizer.
And number three.
I want to thank the Pfizer racing team for bringing me into the running.
Number three was walking the National Mall in D.C. That is pretty cool.
It is.
The first time I did it for the first time about 3 years ago. It was amazing to see all the things I've only seen pictures of, you know?
Right. And to be able to put them in relationship to each other is like, Lincoln Memorial that way, Washington Monument that way, White House that way. So you can kind of put things.
And there's Martin Luther King Jr. And then there's this. And it's like, it's all a lot closer.
The World War II Memorial and the Vietnam. Yeah, exactly. So it is a neat place and then just to get an idea of the things that have happened over the course of history in those places. That's why I like going to like London or any place that's got a lot of history. You can go, that happened right here.
Yeah.
One of these days I'll leave the country.
Well, you can just come over to the studio because there's so much history here too.
Fair enough. Hey, Mexico is just down below you.
Hey, Mexico, what happened? We actually have a, was it in, oh man, I get the history things mixed up in this show and the karaoke show. I can't remember which one it was, but if it's coming up, it'll come up. The anniversary of when the Mexican archaeologists found the pyramid of Tenochtitlan in Mexico City.
Huh.
Pyramid, I think it was the Pyramid of the Sun.
Uh-huh.
Like just making a parking lot or a building or something. Go, hey, what are these bricks?
Digging out of the taqueria.
Yeah.
So a lot of cool stuff in history. Thank you everybody for that. We will have another question for you at the end of the show. So dance your way out. Another letter from our says it was her first time. I had never been to Washington, D.C. before. I think 2018 or 2019 was my first trip out there. It was a business trip, and I said, I am going to take this sunny afternoon and walk around and see where things are.
Oh, it's totally worth it.
And it's been 30 years for me.
There's a few new attractions. Try the new rides.
Yeah. A couple new rides, yeah.
Okay, let's do the history thing, because that can't be as much fun as the show gets. All right, roll your D20, Craig.
Oh! See, this dice didn't fail me. It's actually pretty good. 17.
Oh, you're first. I'm second. Tim's third.
All right.
We're not even going to say what our numbers are. You're just going to have to live with it. Roll the music, maestro. Yeah.
I won't say 17.
I'll start. On this day in history for January 12th, 2022, this is the 12th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 353 days. Oh, man, we got to start the countdown again. Ah. That's depressing sometimes. Weren't there just like 4 days left in
2020? Yeah.
All right, you're up, Craig.
All right. It was on this date in 1866 that the Royal Aeronautic Society was formed in London.
You have to say that with a British accent. No, please
in
don't.
In London. No.
That's why. That's why. Right there. January 12th, 1932, Hattie Caraway, excuse me, became the first woman elected in the United States Senate.
On this day in 1967, Dr. James Bedford became the first person cryonically preserved with the intent of future resuscitation.
I love that. The intent is there.
The intent.
Yeah, it was my intent to get you a birthday present, too.
It's the thought that counts.
I think a lawyer had some wording and he to say about the
He wakes up in the year 2999. Welcome to the world of tomorrow.
That's right. And, let's see, it was 36 years ago today. Congressman Bill Nelson lifted off from Kennedy Space Center aboard Columbia on the space shuttle mission STS-61C. I didn't know they had letters like that. C. As a payload specialist.
It's Spanish for yes.
C.
It was on this date in 1997, the space shuttle Atlantis launched from the Kennedy Space Center on mission STS-81. No C. To the Russian space station Mir, carrying astronaut Jerry M. Lininger? We'll go with that. For a four-month stay aboard the station, replacing astronaut John E. Blaha. Blaha.
19, not 20, 19 European nations agreed to forbid human cloning on this date in 1998.
Oh, wait. That's only 19. How many European nations are there? Who's the rogue nation that didn't agree?
I don't know.
It was.
Must have been France. It's always France.
It's always France.
Yeah, but I bet they made copies of the agreement.
All right, we're going to have to roll the music twice at this rate.
All right, so January 12th, 2001, Downtown Disney opened to the public as part of the Disneyland Resort in Anaheim, California. Wow.
I think the one was already in Disney World at that point. They always seem to lead the pack on these things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With a few exceptions, of course. On January 12, 2004, the world's largest ocean liner, RMS Queen Mary II, made its maiden voyage.
And it was 17 years ago today that Deep Impact launched from Cape Canaveral on a Delta II rocket.
And January 12, 2007, Comet C-2006-P1 McNaught hit the Earth, the largest comet ever measured. Was at its zenith, visible during the day.
The quality goes in before the product goes out. Sorry, that's an old Zenith commercial. Happy birthday goes out of the state to Flemish. Sorry, got some Flemish in my throat. Flemish chemist and physician Jan Baptiste van Helmont, born on this date in 1577.
Oh, that would be me. Yeah. Johann August
Alfwedersee.
Alfwedersee. A Swedish chemist and academic, was born on that same date in 1792.
Alfwedersee.
All right. Born January 12th, 1822. Belgian engineer designed the internal combustion engine, Etienne Lenoir.
We'll work with that. Italian mathematician Gregorio Ricci Carbastro. I could use a good plate of Ricci Carbastro. He was born on this date in 1853.
And thank God I got the American name this time. London, American novelist, was born 146 years ago today.
I think it's Jack.
Jack. Jack London.
Jack London.
Jacques London.
All right, and born January 12th, 1892, Russian engineer and businessman, co-founded the Russian Aircraft Corporation, Mikhail Gurvich.
Paul Hermann Müller, the Swiss chemist and academic Nobel Prize laureate, was born 1, 2, 3 years ago today.
And Igor.
Igor.
That's Igor to you.
Kurchatov. Russian physicist and academic, was born on that same date in 1903.
And born January 12th, 1905, American archaeologist and academic James Bennett Griffin.
Sergey Korolev. If you know that name, it's because you are a Russian nerd. He's a Russian colonel and engineer born on the same date in 1907. He's the counterpart to Wernher von Braun.
No kidding.
He was the Russian guy leading their rocket race. Yes.
Wow. Well, luckily von Braun won.
I'm a Russian nerd. Yeah.
Von Braun won.
Alrighty. And where are we here?
Right at the pink cursor.
Yes. January 12th, 1916, American chemist and inventor Ruth R. Benedetto.
And Rush Limbaugh, the American talk show host and author, was born 71 years ago today.
Also turning 71 today is American actress and producer Kirstie Alley.
No kidding.
Wow.
Yeah.
They grow up so fast.
I know. Yeah, right.
Oh, wow. American radio host, actor, and author Howard Stern was born on this date in 1954.
And also turning 65 today is American animator, director, and producer John Lasseter.
Also born on that same date in 1964, American computer scientist and businessman, founder of Amazon.com, and man with the biggest phallic rocket, Jeff Bezos.
And American singer, songwriter, producer, actor, and director, Rob Zombie is 57 today.
He's got a long CV now.
Yes, he does.
And what have I done with those same 57 years?
Zip.
Listener rebuilt, birthdays for the last
studio twice.
Right. I'll bet he's got a nicer studio than I do. Listener birthdays for the last couple of weeks, because we did miss an episode in here. Thomas Gideon on January 3rd from the Command Line Podcast. Steve Therian on the 6th. January 8th, which was yesterday as we record this, is, of course, the king.
Thank you very much.
It's Elvis's birthday. I always remember that. It's on our birthday calendar. You got to say it. Lingo from the Brit and Yankee podcast is on the 9th. Glenn Toller
Pubcast.
On the 14th. What did I say?
Pubcast.
Pubcast. That's right. Yeah, is a pubcast. And Ralph Whitfield, a.k.a. Goofy Ralph, is on the 15th. Yeah. Fuffy Frog on the 17th. Happy birthday to all of you. Craig, put up that thing to tell him how... Is Bezos trying to compensate for something? Or is that... Very nice. Very nice. We also had... this sad news come in at the last minute that we lost a couple celebrities, Dwayne Hickman, Dobie Gillis, and Bob Saget today.
Bob Saget?
Yeah, that was just like a couple hours ago it was announced.
Wow, okay.
Yep, it's age 65. They don't know the cause of death yet, but they're saying it's not nefarious or drug-related or a crime. It doesn't appear to be, at least anyway.
It just sucks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When your number's up. And if your number's up, there you go. Put it on the birthday calendar, chuckchat.com/birthday.
You missed one.
Did we? No, I said Fuffy Frog.
Oh, did 17? You? I didn't
hear
you say
that. Yeah. So put your number on our calendar so we can give you a shout out when your number's up. That didn't come out right at all.
No. Well, each year.
Each year, yes, at the appropriate time of year. You go over to chuckchat.com/birthday and fill out the simple form, and we will get you in there. It's a lot of fun. A lot of people have been doing that over the years. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Let's do some news.
News and weather, everyone.
All right, Craig, did you have a chance to go through and read these stories? Watch the videos?
I did, actually. This one was pretty cool.
Why don't you start out with this one?
Yeah, you know, everybody's trying to do the AR thing with glasses where they can do the augmented reality. Well,
yeah,
this is
stylish. You know,
well, just like Jordy, he went from the visor to contacts, you can too. And apparently this company has cut a deal with Adidas and some other companies where they are going to produce contact lenses that have it can produce text and images on the contact itself. And it will do it from, obviously, your phone or any other kind of devices like that. So it's pretty interesting. And also, it did say that it will help if you have presbyopia, which is the near vision problem, you know, where you got to have reading glasses to be able to read. This will help with that as well. So I think that's kind of interesting.
Interesting.
I imagine that it would kind of, I was thinking it may have to, because you got to make sure that's clear for anybody. I don't know.
I wonder how good that
lenses part.
And the use case that I really want to see, this harkens back to our interview with Dr. Michio Kaku. Remember, he was talking about like the augmented reality in your eyes. And really, I have very little interest in the metasphere right now. So my use case is I want to see augmented data. So when you walk up to somebody, you go, I'm supposed to know who this is. I've met them before. I want to see, hey, this is Craig Stepp. His wife's name is Kim. And you met at the
Social security number is.
Right.
How's that bank account doing for you? He says.
Yeah.
But, you know, to be able to recall pertinent information so you can keep that relationship or the appearance of a relationship alive, that would solve so many awkward situations. Let me know when we get there.
Speaking of awkward situations,
podcast,
the security guy in me turns around and looks at it and goes, boy, I wonder how long it's going to be till the porn companies hack the wireless protocol on that.
Oh, I expect, you know, the porn images to come right from your phone to your eyes.
Well, and not just that. I mean, can you imagine walking through a restaurant or something like that and some little 13-year-old presses something and all of a sudden you got giant things in your vision that you really don't want?
Oh, I thought you were talking about seeing everyone naked.
No.
Well, that doesn't make you any...
Wait a minute.
The myth is false. If you're doing a presentation, you picture people in their underwear, it's wrong. Oh, it's just wrong.
No.
Tim, I think you... let's clarify your words. Not things that you don't want. You don't want now, maybe later.
Correct. Yes.
Not when you're walking through the food court.
Right. Yeah.
The mall.
Tim's out finding that kid, going, "Hey, what's the what'd you do to hack that?
Can you just text me the URL?
Yeah. Got a QR code I can scan or something?
Yeah, I just think the nefarious connections on that, though, I think are just going to be crazy.
I think it's pretty cool, though.
I want to know how you power it and the signal, because from the images we saw, it looked like just this little array of almost like flexible circuit board in there with and that would obviously go on the iris part of your eye.
Right. You could power it the same way that you power RFID chips or any of that kind of stuff.
You just have to hold your phone right up. It's near field communication. Just hold your phone up to your right eye and you're fine.
Or blink fast.
Yeah, just...
You know, maybe it works off your...
Blink and it generates current off of the...
I mean, you've got watches that wind themselves, right? All you got to do is shake your head a lot.
I've got one. I've got one of those watches. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. It was, I believe they introduced that CES this year, did they not?
Yes, that was,
as far as price goes, they said price is initially going to be about twice the price of disposable contact lenses.
That's not bad at all.
And it would come down as, I know, that's what I said too, except I've got to have like the toric lenses, but that made them stupid expensive. We'll see how that goes.
Well, I think at the bottom they said that there wasn't a
release date announced.
There wasn't a demo.
Announced. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know,
it's
got to contain
it.
How clear are these images? How good is the text? Or
it starts out as six. It's like, the original heads up displays were 640 by 480.
Yep.
So we'll see. Yeah. No pun intended. We'll see.
Well, I'm interested in it. I'm curious to see where they go with it. So,
cool. Shall we do the next story?
Let's do the next
story. Last month, the China U22.
U22.
Isn't that a band name? U22? Finally, they discovered the cubicle, what they called the mystery hut on the moon. And to everyone's surprise, you know what it turned out to be? A rock.
Gilligan was in there.
You're on the moon. What do you expect to find? They got closer to it. It was 200 meters away. So they sent their probe, their little robot off at the breakneck speed of like 200 meters an hour. So an hour later, it creeps up on it. And it turned out to be a rock, which they found to be more of a not exactly potato-shaped. They called it the Jade Rabbit because it kind of looks like a bunny eating grass, and it's going to starve up there on the moon if that's what it's after.
It's gray.
Right.
Yeah,
it's gray. It's a moon rock. It's gray. There's nothing jade about that.
I'm ready for them to roll around
on Mars. Or,
I'm ready for them to roll around on Mars or on the moon and come across like a Coke can. You know, somehow some trash got ejected from Earth.
Real gods must be crazy moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a Coke bottle.
Coke bottle.
Go. Wow. Haven't heard a reference to that movie in a long time.
Yeah, I just dated myself.
It's got to be on YouTube somewhere. If you don't know, go look up The Gods Must Be Crazy.
So my question on this, how long did it take the rover to get to this rock?
I will tell you. China Space Agency then announced it would travel toward the object. Let's see. They said it was 260 feet or 80 meters away.
Okay.
So they sent it off at 656 feet per hour or 20 meters an hour. So if it was 80 meters away at 200 meters an hour. 200 meters an hour is as fast as the rover will go.
Okay. So it could have done that in 10 minutes.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
Why did it take so long for them to come back and say, oh, yeah, it's not a rock. A box. It's not the mystery, huh?
It took them a month to come.
Right?
They wanted to Photoshop the pictures first so they have credible evidence.
Do you believe all the news you get out of China?
Yo, every word of it.
There's just no news going into China.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, they said that they've amassed an impressive 17,239 data files with a total number of 20 gigs of data that they've released out from their findings on the moon. So,
right on.
And this is all part of it.
So, now, they said 17,239 data files. They didn't say images. Somebody looking through like just raw hex code?
I imagine it's probably a mix.
Is it like the Matrix where you're just watching?
Oh, it's probably elevation data and
humidity.
Temperature. It's the 7-day weather forecast. And
like the 7-day forecast of Alderaan.
Oh, boy.
That's no moon. Whoa, what a coinkydink.
That's right. I imagine it's a mix of like text and data and images, I'm sure.
Right.
Why no one listens to this podcast? I don't know. we're having a blast. Tell your friends.
That's right. That's right.
Hang out on Sunday nights and laugh along with us or try to follow along. Keep up with the references. All right. That's it for the news, but we do have a chat room going. We do this show live on Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern time. We'd love to have you join us on YouTube or Facebook. You can just look for Technorama Podcast on either of those. Subscribe, like, do what you do on the social media stuff. Join us in the live chat. We've got John Miller Jr. and Amy Bowen in there. We've got somebody else who hasn't spoke up yet, but that's all we see. We don't know if you're there, and we can even make you part of the show. Like,
jump in.
Like this. See? You're welcome. That was just too handy.
Yeah.
So Sunday nights, 9:30, Technorama Podcast, you know what to do. Let's go take a look at our Remember When stuff, because this one actually, Craig, I think you struck gold on this one. We've got a story about a heavy metal guitarist who is opening, or just opened, I should say, just opened an arcade in Madison, Wisconsin. What was the name of his band again?
I just read it.
Droids Attack. Droids Attack. That's the name of his band.
How do we forget that?
Well, it's yeah. I was going. It's not. Yeah, I knew it was something about it. Brad Van Kouwenberg.
Kouwenberg.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yes,
he's the frontman of the aptly named metal band Droids Attack, and he partnered up with his buddy Chris Welch of Trixie's Liquor, because you know. Rock and roll and liquor, to open an arcade they call Aftershock Arcade. It is on Washington Street. If you happen to be in the Madison area, look it up. It is on Google Maps. You can find it that way as well. I did. I looked into it. The picture was obviously taken by the Google streetcar before they moved in because the papers are on the window. It looks like
it says for rent.
it looked more like condemned is what it should say.
Right.
But he's got a bunch of the classics in there, like Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, Space Invaders, Tron, Pole Position, the full cabinets and the sit-down kind, as well as some very obscure ones. What was the other one that he had?
He had the old Death Race.
Death Race. Never heard of Death Race, but apparently that's a favorite of Tim's. They tailored the one section of the bar because, you know, the liquor is involved with that. One section of the bar is like a giant Atari 2600 console. I want to see the size of the cartridge you put in that baby.
Oh, no kidding.
Here, I got a big E.T. for you.
When I saw that bar, I was like, oh, I totally want that. I mean, even you got games on the side too, but it has that huge console. That's awesome.
It's really well done.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm looking at that going, huh, I've got a workshop.
And they've got the retro flavor in there too with the, you know, multicolor paint job. And,
I didn't even notice that. It's got the old Activision stripes across the top. And wow.
They should have put the heart.
I think just getting ideas for redoing that room.
No. I'm not doing that. This looks more like a roller rink to me. That I would do. The ceiling in the arcade section has cutouts like you're looking at the sections of Pac-Man. You know, if you took out the power pills. The article says he also has the only known Jolt Cola machine. It was actually a Coke machine that he painted to look just like a Jolt Cola. It dispenses Coke products, by the way.
All right.
No sponsorship there.
You can still get Jolt.
You can. Where can you get Jolt?
I've seen it online.
Oh my.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it in places, yeah.
He's going for the retro look. He's got tokens.
I've had it before and it did. It's got a Jolt, all right.
Look at this full size tabletop pong.
Oh, wow.
Well, the one thing that I'm not really happy with, I take issue with, is he's using tokens instead of just quarters.
Why? I mean, why do you have an issue with that?
Because you have to spend the entire dollar. You can't just walk out. You have to use all the tokens or come back to the same place with the two tokens you had left over or whatever. You know,
Craig,
whatever you
do you anticipate buying like one Bitcoin worth of tokens? I mean, well,
if I break a dollar, I play 50 cents worth of games, I can leave. Otherwise, I got a pocket full of tokens.
I didn't know you could retrofit these machines to take tokens.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I thought it was coins only.
No, no,
but it allows him to adjust the price because back when we were kids, it was 25 cents a play.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then a lot of these went to 50 cents a play. Well, rather than pumping in four quarters or more now, he can say, you know, he can set his token to dollar ratio and just say, here's your tokens. And you would, I'm not saying what you have to do, Craig, but if it were me, I'd go, all right, let's say it's $1 token. Okay. And you want to play these things. I'd probably get $10 and play 10 games. And that would be my evening. I wouldn't go get $50 worth of tokens and go, oh, I got a bunch of souvenirs here.
You know what? We have very different lives than arcades, man. I would go.
I want to know if they fixed the Midway coin box or can my coat hanger trick still work?
I was going to say, only $10? I think I found every quarter that was in my, you know, county.
It's one of those skills in college I never really should have advertised.
Oh, the...
Right.
You bend tripping the coat hanger like to the shape of an L, kind of an L, and you stick it in there and go click, and click. You could rack up the credits on Ms. Pac-Man like nothing. It was the Midway coin boxes. I think eventually they fixed them by putting the little coin box wall a little higher, and then you couldn't get your coat hanger.
I will tell you this.
Yes.
My friend, I've mentioned this before. My friend Mike has a barcade here in town, and which I've been there several times, but he's now opening one at the beach. He's having one at the beach. So he's got a second location. So these are becoming quite popular, and I think it's really cool.
Really?
I wish I could remember all the patterns to Tron light cycles. I just can't.
Oh, I can.
They are completely purged from my memory.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But Mike has mostly pinballs in the one here in Rock Hill, but he has a nice library of machines. You know, a lot of the ones you see here in this arcade.
Yeah, and they look very well. They're in great shape, or they've been very well restored. I mean, you don't see any peeling.
Oh, he did say he's
been
restoring in this article. He did
almost
say
25 years, I think he said.
30.
Wow.
An extra 5.
I remember he said he started collecting in the late 90s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool stuff. I like that one. Thank you, Craig, for finding that for us. And that means it's time to thank someone else in this show, the patrons. Thank you to the people who actually fund this show and keep it going, because we have things like our streaming provider, our hosting provider, our domain registration, and many, many other things to keep this studio and podcast going. And to you, we salute you. And then we read your name on the air. And then we give you a free bonus podcast that nobody else in the world gets except for this exclusive club.
You know how much that costs?
If you want to be part of this exclusive club, well, we talk about some topic that, well, I can't even talk about it. It's so secret. Rule number one of the Patreon podcast is you don't talk about the Patreon podcast.
No. But I'll take the area on the show notes where I say Patreon topic this week.
I'll take
it out.
I'll take what's behind curtain number three or Carol Merrill, whichever comes first. Right. Thank you to Alexis Duran. I'll just see what I can get out of Tim tonight. Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman. Thank you, Ben Vaughn and Brian Brown. We got to get Brian back.
Yeah.
Chris MC, Dandy Man Coyer, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis. Thank you. Gary Lindros. I'm surprised he hasn't chimed in on the chat yet tonight. He's usually around. He was on karaoke last night. We said, hey, karaoke is in the house. John Clifford, John Noble, Jorga Schrauen, Kyle Nishioka, Leon, Mark Kilfoyle, Mike Wills, Chris Martinez, Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Weshey, Steve Therian, Steve Cody, Steve London. I just love ending with the Steve. So if your name is Steve, or you wish it was, or your name is not Steve, whether it's one of those three cases, hey,
you
want to
sign
be
up and say you're Steve. We don't care.
As little as a dollar a show. If we don't produce a show, you don't pay. And at the end of the month, they go, you owe $4. It's like, oh, right. Okay. That's pretty easy. Heck, $4. Yeah. I think I waste more in cat food that the cat doesn't eat. Right. So take your cat food.
If I had a dime for every cat food, never mind.
Redirect it this way. Craig's already got the URL on the screen, but if you're listening, it would be patreon.com/technoramapodcast. That's the URL, patreon.com/technoramapodcast. Head over there, sign up, and feel good. Do something good in 2022. Ooh, there's a slogan.
There you are.
Ooh, that's what I get for hanging around marketing people.
I'm glad we're recording this so we can come back and steal that later.
Yeah. We'll have to figure out what we do about the background music, or I'll just say it again as a real voiceover. All right, we do have a pass me the remote. We have a couple of them.
And now, the 10 o'clock news.
That always sounds more like a news segment to me, doesn't it? But, you know.
And now to you, Tim.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Yeah. Are those carrots in your refrigerator going to kill you? We'll tell you right after this message.
Speaking of which, there's one I'm going to put on Netflix called Death to 2021. They had a similar thing at the end of 2020.
Yeah,
did you see that?
No.
Oh, you've got to watch these. At first, you're like, I really don't want to see anything more about 2020 now that it's over.
No.
Oh, they completely satirically ratted this thing. It is great. And they brought back some of the guests for 2021, like, what was her name? Kathy or Karen, the housewife. They've got a new news lady.
Like
her name is Madison.
And nice.
She's like, did the Chinese send robots to infiltrate the election? And she says, just asking questions. That's her slogan.
Oh,
she doesn't
God.
Really say anything. And whenever somebody calls her out, didn't you tell the American public? She goes, I didn't tell them anything. I'm just asking questions.
Oh. Yeah.
It is brilliant. It is brilliant. So if you want a good laugh.
They play it off like a documentary of the year.
Yes.
But then,
it's a good old mockumentary.
And
then.
Yes, it is.
Outstanding.
And nobody is safe. Nobody is safe.
Outstanding.
Was it Tracy Ullman? Who's the British comedian that does the... She came back for a second one. I thought it was Tracy Ullman.
Oh, I don't remember. I hadn't seen the second one, and I don't remember everybody that was on
I thought
one.
Joe Biden was a ghost. But I didn't know you could give vaccines to ghosts because it would just leak all over the floor. But I guess ghosts have veins, so that works.
That's funny.
It is one laugh after another. So if you want a good laugh at 2021's expense, Death to 2021 on Netflix. Donna and I started watching 1883.
I saw that was coming on.
It is the prequel.
Oh,
to.
Yes. To Yellowstone.
Yellowstone,
right? Yeah.
Which we are done with so far. I think we finished season 3 and season 4 is coming out. So
my wife's been watching Yellowstone. She seems to like it.
This is the family before they got to Montana.
Mm-hmm.
So it's their journey across the West and how they came in on the train in Texas and interesting stuff. We're enjoying it.
I would like to see
Yellowstone is pretty violent. If you haven't watched it, it's a good show, but it is very violent.
I've seen a couple of episodes.
People get shot like every other scene or hung.
Yeah.
And nobody goes to jail.
St. John's been hung three times.
He actually died in the last show, but we just put a mustache on him and hung him again.
Right.
Sorry, Robot Chicken reference there. Another one on Netflix that we watched is John and Yoko, Above Us Only Sky.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Interesting documentary and lots of great film footage from this is post Beatles era.
Okay.
And they're at what's the name of his house over in England? Tittenham?
Jeff.
That's not the name of the house. But they bought this big palatial place where with a pond, and you know, they take Julian out on the rowboat and whatnot. And he built a studio just off the kitchen. Who would do such a thing?
I don't know.
Ridiculous idea. But
fools.
In walks George Harrison, and they start cutting an album.
Yeah, you know, like you do.
It's pretty cool, and the footage is awesome, and it's fun to watch how the people have aged since then. You know, there's one reporter who looks like he's about 18, and he's got this big afro, is now this overweight 60-year-old guy who's bald. That's awesome.
And
really, Yoko was probably one of those people who was greatly misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's the outsider who broke up the Beatles. Not really. Not really. They had a very rough career in the what, 6 or 8 years that they were together.
Yes.
About touring, and they just felt like we've done what we came here
you know
to
what?
Do.
And that's what I watched some interviews. One had with George Harrison and I forget which talk show he was on. But anyway, him and they basically said the same thing. He said that they were kind of getting to the end of their time, you know, together and ready to start exploring new things anyway. And the guy kept saying, well, what about Yoko? He's like, it wasn't about Yoko so much.
I would say she came along and saved John. They were very well paired for each other. I frankly don't understand her all that well. Because she was a conceptual artist, and she would do these, you know, artsy fartsy things that are a little outside of my scope of comprehension.
A little.
But what they did say at the very end, kind of a spoiler alert, the title of the show is Above Us Only Sky, which is lyrics right out of Imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, those are her words.
Yeah.
She was extremely influential in that song's lyrics.
Oh, I'm sure.
It should have been credited to John and Yoko. So it's pretty interesting. The show kind of gives you a new perspective on what happened in their personal lives and you know, how they came to New York and all that kind of stuff. They were actually happier in New York.
Well, I'll tell you, I think I mentioned this before, on Disney Plus, they have the Beatles Get Back, which is a docuseries on them doing Let It Be, the album. And there is tons of archival footage here, but it's been edited down to three episodes, but they're kind of long.
You said that
was Netflix?
Making
my wake.
Where was
Disney Plus?
Disney Plus.
That's right.
And I'm enjoying watching the back behind the scenes footage. It's weird. It's like you're sitting there watching them just do their thing.
Right.
Like if you were sitting in the studio, which is awesome. And just a little surreal also, because this is a lot of footage that I haven't seen before. Apparently it's been out before, but not edited in this way.
It's so funny when they cut to the studio scenes. He'll be singing a song, but you can't hear the backing tracks, and then they'll mix them in.
Right.
And then they take them out again, and it's like, so that's what Donna hears when I'm practicing karaoke. Just, it's like, and when you take the music away, you go, well, he's no better than I am.
she's probably there going, what's wrong with the cat? Oh, it's Chuck.
I did hear today that they are going to be releasing that on DVD and Blu-ray. That whole series.
Let It Be?
Get Back.
Get Back. That's what.
Yeah. Oh,
cool.
Yeah, they should.
So those of us who don't subscribe will be able to watch it.
All right. Mm-hmm. I'm getting everything that comes out on Disney Plus, I'm just a little closer to subscribing. But I also realize I'm going to have a lot of catching up to do.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That's why
you need to subscribe now.
Cranking out is that the Chinese proverb? The best time to subscribe to Disney Plus was 30 years ago.
The second best time is today.
Ancient Chinese proverb. We just made it up.
Next year, you'll wish you had started today.
All right, let's get on to the next one. Monty Python's Almost the Truth from Netflix.
Yeah, right.
I am, and I believe I speak for all of us, Monty Python fans.
Absolutely.
This is, I believe, 6 episodes of kind of the behind the scenes as they go through their progression of how they formed and making the movies, making the show,
right.
What it was like after Graham passed away, doing Spam-A-Lot, the club shows.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it gets into a lot of stuff. And you really kind of get a perspective of who was responsible for what
mm-hmm.
and how the direction on Holy Grail went between the two Terrys. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, what worked, what didn't, when they figured this out. And, you know, they get into Graham's alcoholism.
Really?
He couldn't put two lines together. How they pulled off Holy Grail, I don't know, because it was a challenge, and it the movie comes across well, but you would never suspect they had such a challenge with that aspect of it. It really is some interesting stuff, and of course they show clips of many of your favorite things of, I think John Cleese was talking about the dead parrot sketch.
Oh God!
And the director, the BBC executive or director or something, said, "No, we're going to change it," and they went ahead and did what they came out with nice. Anyway. It's like, thank you. Can't imagine that any other way. But a little insider stuff like that was a whole lot of fun. And they take their jabs at each other, and you find out that Eric Idle was really the kind of the taskmaster to some of the more current ventures. Like, oh, someone was talking about this, and next thing I know, it was Eric got it up and running, and we're looking for financing. Go, wow, okay, let's right. join in and do that. So it was a lot of fun to watch that.
I like the subtitle on that though. Monty Python's Almost the Truth, the Lawyer's Cut.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oops, I have a typo in here. There we go. World War II in color, Road to Victory. I am, as I get older, I like the historical document stuff. Is this
Peter Jackson? Is this?
Don't think so.
No, you're thinking the World War I thing that he did.
There's a couple of them on Netflix that are about World War II in color, and I'm about to start another one. This one's called Road to Victory, and they spotlight certain mm-hmm. key pivotal battles that really turned the tide. I always wondered when I was a kid, why did anybody give a crap about Northern Africa? It just seemed like the wrong direction to go. Like, wait, hey, you know, the Italians won the desert. Yeah, good for you.
It did seem like, I remember reading about it in school going, why are they there?
You know why? Suez Canal.
Yep.
All of mm-hmm. England's oil was coming from the Middle East countries and had to go through the Suez Canal. You control the canal, you control the war. And that's,
I thought they were looking for the Ark.
They launched the Germans at it. They launched the Italians at it and said, here, Mussolini, go try this. And he didn't do so well. So then the Germans had to come in and try and finish the job. But that was a close call. They did Iwo Jima. They did Saipan. There were a lot of key pivotal moments, and you realize why those were so important, or not, in the case of Iwo Jima.
Right.
There were just, they did some that were in the European theater and some that were in the Pacific theater. So Road to Victory was a good one.
Okay.
And then the one I just finished up, I watched half of it a couple nights ago, and I finished up right before the podcast, called Mercury 13. This was about the 13 women that were selected in the 1960s to potentially be astronauts, and then President Johnson pulled the plug on the program, and they kind of went, one of them was Wally Funk, who just went up on Bezos's rocket. She was part of that program, and they went through all the testing, and in many tests, they found out they were better suited for some of these things than the male astronauts were, but egos being what they were. And
that's a raw deal right there. To go through all that training, just like everybody else. And then, you know, they kind of pulled the plug on it because we can't have women going up there and showing up anybody. Messed up.
That whole program was referenced in Apple's For All Mankind.
Was it?
Yes. If you have not seen that, that's actually quite interesting.
When the first shuttle pilot was selected, she called in the remaining, there were like seven women remaining from this program. And she said, I want you to be a guest. And then NASA found out and they made a big PR deal about it. Like, look, we got these women. So, like, wow, that's pretty.
Well, and then we get into Nichelle Nichols, had a big hand in recruiting people for the shuttle program.
Really?
Right?
Nichelle? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, she was very instrumental. And they had women, men of all, you know, colors and everything was represented. It was pretty cool.
All right. We are winding down in time. So, Craig, what have you got?
So, you've got all these great documentaries, and I watched Cobra Kai season 4.
That's a documentary.
It's a documentary. Actually, I enjoyed it. It's a little bit on the young adult drama side, but
I can't convince myself to start watching that. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I just kind of got into it. It's not.
And we're glad you did, so we don't have to. Yes. We can still talk about it.
I like the Karate Kid series. At least the first two.
The movies?
Yeah, the movies. Number 3 sort of falling off a little bit there, but they reference a lot of Miyagi and a lot of not flashbacks, but little bits and pieces that drive the story over these 4 seasons. So it's amazing how much they've actually pulled out, to be honest with you. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good series, and I liked the way it ended. And it says season 5 is coming. So
that's on Netflix, sure, also, right?
It is.
Okay. Are you planning to watch Tiger King season 2?
No, pass. Hard pass. I don't care.
Yes, there is a season 2.
I don't know how they can do that with him in jail.
I don't know.
What do they do? Put a GoPro in the cell? I mean,
I thought the thing about being in jail was you're not supposed to profit or be able to make money.
I couldn't even get through the first episode of the first season. I'm not even going there. I just see it go by like, oh, please no.
Well, I did watch the first season like watching a train wreck. You couldn't look away.
I could. I had no problem looking away.
It was like watching a train wreck in slow motion.
I felt my IQ dropping as I watched.
With chariots of fire playing in the background from a clown playing a kazoo. I mean, it was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. It was glorious.
And right when you think you've seen it all on that show,
yeah,
here comes somebody else.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Who are these people?
No, every episode ends, you go, surely it can't go any. Oh, yes, it can.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous.
Was that 2020? What? You want your life back? Was that another horrific 2020 train wreck?
That was 20...
Was it 19?
19.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, Jim, what
have you been watching? Have you watched anything?
I've just been going down a large nostalgia trip. So for me, it's going back through the whole Blu-ray library. Big thing I've been watching recently are a lot of the old Frank Miller stuff. So V for Vendetta was my most recent thing that I watched this past week.
Oh, right.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Fantastic film. There's nothing like going back and rewatching Hugo Weaving in that and seeing just how fantastic of an actor he is. The amount of emotion he conveys and everything he does with just nods of his head and shifts in body posture.
You couldn't even see his lips move.
No, you couldn't see his eyes. You could see nothing but his body. And just fantastic.
They had to have overdubbed that.
There were parts of it that they did.
Anyways, you just get mask sound.
But there were parts of it that they did. But I think from what I remember seeing on it, he did the entire movie line for line exactly as was performed there, so that Natalie Portman in most of her scenes was able to play off of it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Yes.
You know, kind of like Darth Vader.
Yes, or the guy who did
Golem. You are a traitor and a rebel. Okay, we're going to work that out.
or Bane in the Batman movies, like it hit film.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well. So yeah, that's largely what I've been doing.
That and Harry Potter.
That Harry Potter's on every week on TV.
Is it really?
Yep. I think for the past 4 years, there has not been a day when a Harry Potter movie is not playing.
I think that's become a new Christmas tradition around here. At least when Lisa and Grant just come over, they want to watch Harry Potter.
It's Christmas.
I haven't watched those movies in a long time. I probably should watch them again.
They hold up rather well.
Not too bad. Some parts are aging.
Yes.
Yeah, the kids. They're aging.
Okay, we do have a couple things in the Geek Library.
By the way, speaking of Harry Potter, I haven't watched it yet, but there's that reunion thing they have on HBO Max.
Right.
It's pretty good.
I did see an ad for that.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody's got HBO Max, let us know how you go. I hit it at the same time. All right, you're in charge. Hit it. Harry Potter doesn't sparkle.
Not much. No.
You just got to get him in the right light.
They added that in the George Lucas update.
All right, so you want to kind of skip over these two articles?
No, I'm not going to skip over them because I like the first one extremely a lot. The physics of Wile E. Coyote's 10 billion volt electromagnet. So the author of this article, Rhett Allain, likes to take sci-fi, and he considers cartoons are sci-fi, apparently, when they include science. The episode of the Mary Melody's cartoon, Compressed Hair, where Wile E. Coyote is not after the Roadrunner. He's after Bugs Bunny. And one of the devices that he gets is a giant electromagnet. And he says, here's the part I liked. While Wile E. Coyote is assembling his contraption, he sees what comes in is a huge crate labeled 10 billion volt electric magnet do-it-yourself kit.
Right.
And he said, I can just see the writers of the show going, you know, we can't just do an electromagnet, but it has to be over the top big. And another writer said, let's put a number on there, like 1 million volts. And someone else would probably say, sure, 1 million volts is cool, but what about 10 billion volts? Okay. And then he gets into the science of this. What's an electromagnet? How do they work? What's a regular magnet and what's an electromagnet? Well, first we have to understand Ohm's law. V=IR, right?
And he's breaking it down.
He does break it down. He says it's not about the volts because you can give yourself, you know, a 50,000 volt shock just by rubbing your feet on the carpet and touching, the faucet. It's not the volts that kills you. It's the current.
It's the current.
So he rearranges this thing and figures out, well, what's the resistance of the wire? And we have to figure that out. And how much current would be needed? Does all of this, gets into this really great equation that's in this article. I encourage you to check it out. Episode 660 show notes, where you figure out the magnetic force. And the problem is, if you've ever played with magnets, you know that the attraction is really strong, especially with some of these new neodymium ones.
Yeah.
When you're close, but you put them 2 feet apart and there's nothing there. I mean, yes, there is a trace of magnetic pull on them. So he said, there were a couple of things in this article that just jumped out and grabbed me. He said, one is, in order to power that magnet, he would need about 1 billion watts of electricity. Now, that's not so bad because the Three Gorges Dam in China generates 21 billion watts. And he says, if he has access to a power source that big, he shouldn't be having a problem with one stinking little rabbit. And then when he goes through the math, he says, they didn't really tell you how far, because apparently in this grand plan, Bugs Bunny's supposed to eat an iron carrot somehow.
Like you do.
Yeah.
Got lots of iron. And they didn't say how far Bugs Bunny's whole rabbit hole is from Wile's cave, but he made this assumption that it's probably about 500 meters. And based on that and the equations and the power and everything you plugged into, the short answer is no, it wouldn't have worked because the force on that magnet from that distance to that carrot would have been about like a human hair pushing on that carrot. So it just wouldn't have worked. And yet you see a cruise liner and a rocket ship being pulled into this magnet. So classic Bugs Bunny stuff, but won't really work. And the fact that this guy went through the effort to figure out all these formulae to get this to go, ain't going to happen.
You know, I'm glad Rhett Allen didn't write this cartoon then.
I like this thing. Yeah.
Would have been a lot more boring.
Well, I think at the time people probably had, there was more of a, the volts versus amps thing. If you had said 1 billion amps, most people wouldn't understand what it was.
No.
You know, but you understand what volts are.
Right.
Right. There's one that he said, I even went one step further. He said, it's actually even worse. I assumed the carrot was a magnet to see if that would have any impact on it. He said, however, the magnetic momentum of an actual piece of iron would depend on the strength of the magnetic field that it induces it.
Right.
This would make the force between the two objects even smaller as distance increases. And that makes it even less likely that the trick is going to work to get Bugs out of his hole. As you can see, the magnetic force between the two objects can be quite complicated to calculate. I guess that's why it takes a genius like Wile E. Coyote to even attempt to pull it off.
A super genius.
Super genius.
Yeah. I love that. By the way, I remember seeing the Bugs Bunny looking at his mailbox and it says Wile E. Coyote genius, and he's looking back like, yeah, right. In the side eye. Yeah.
There
and
is
by the way, if you go read this article, be sure to listen to the Warner Brothers music, you know, and just let it play on Spotify or something.
That's actually that tune has an actual name to it.
Yes. I have no idea.
I can't remember what it is. It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember what it is. Okay, one more article, real quick. We have been here for an hour, and so we don't want to keep the listener going any longer. A quick article about a gentleman who was struck with ALS, which over in UK is known as motor neuron disease. Dr. Peter Scott Morgan, excuse me, Peter Scott Morgan was married in 2014, and in 2017 he was diagnosed with ALS or NMD, motor neuron disease. I'll get M&Ms.
MND.
Well, right. He's now 63, and he said, I know I can't beat this thing, but I want to get ahead of it. So he had, a triple ostomy. He had, looking for those words again. Where were they? He had a triple ostomy, which consisted of three surgeries in one, a gastrostomy, a colostomy, and a cystotomy, which inserted tubes directly into his stomach, colon, and bladder so that he could get ahead and get nutrients into his system and get the waste out of his system so it wouldn't be such a burden on his husband to take care of him in a few years. But then he got into the technology side of it. He says, well, with that out of the way, I know I'm not going to be able to communicate very well. So he started in with some software and did a virtual version of himself. That you got to see the video in there. It's pretty darn impressive. And if you have to communicate with the outside world, that's the way I would want to do it.
Links are in the show notes, right?
Links are in the show notes. Episode 660 over at chuckchat.com/technorama.
Hearing him speak, as you were talking about in the video with the avatar.
Yes.
It reminded me of Val Kilmer was using since he's having trouble speaking, he was using an avatar, and it was using, AI, and it was using his library of all the recording and stuff.
He deepfaked himself?
Basically.
He kind of deepfakes himself. And see, the thing about him, not only does he have a great library of spoken word out in his movies, but he did a lot of home videos as well. So he's been recorded all through his life, so he can really... articulate. It sounded great when I heard it. It almost sounds normal. I don't want to say normal, natural. That's all I was going to say. I don't want to diminish it too much, but it sounds really good.
This is pretty cool. I applaud him for his advancements and what it will mean to the ALS community. Just phenomenal stuff. He touts himself as the world's most advanced cyborg. So he's got machine implants in there too.
Yeah. Well.
All right. That brings us to the end where we've got our question of the week. We didn't even roll the Geek Library music, but too late.
Uh-oh.
Question of the week. Which TV show started out promising but turned out to be garbage? Oh, man. The list. List is endless.
But it'd probably be easier to name the three that didn't.
Yeah, the three that didn't. Right.
Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, but hey, nothing wrong with Bugs Bunny.
That's what I said. Show. We said the three that aren't.
Alf.
Like that show was a parody of itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heroes.
Facts of Life.
Ranks
the
right
Facts
there.
Of Life. There you go.
Facts of Heroes. Life. We're going to leave that to you, dear listener or viewer, to let us know.
Hey, it started out promising. You got four attractive young ladies, but the story just kind of...
And we are limiting this to TV shows. Anyway. Podcasts like Technorama don't count.
Oh, there you go.
Don't forget Caveman.
Oh. Yeah, remember they made the show based on the Geico commercial?
I tried so hard to forget Caveman, and here you go bringing it back.
Back to therapy.
That's right.
What are you trying to do, get him to drink again?
Right.
Okay. That takes us to the end of the show, so let's roll that end of show music. That one. Yeah. Woohoo! Rock those guitars. Thank you very much, Craig. Thanks, Tim, for hanging out with us.
Absolutely, anytime.
A lot of fun. We are going to go and record our Patreon show in a moment. But until then, we recommend that you let us know your show that turned into garbage. 707-530-2428. Yes.
We excluded podcasts in that, by the
That's
way.
That's what I said.
Just TV shows. Just TV shows.
Craig wasn't listening very well.
Just, you got to remind
You know what? We should exclude podcasts as well.
Did we exclude podcasts from that?
Yeah. I was just driving the point home. That's all.
Give us an email, technoramachuckchat.com, or reach out to us on social media and the interwebs, wherever you find Technorama Podcast. Until next time we talk to you or talk at you, give us a binary high five, Craig.
All right, 101. Bye, everybody.
Bye.